Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the pilot episode of the 72 show. Here we're discussing the 72 clubs in the Football League. Let's see how this gets on. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and joining me this week we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
We've got Josh Green.
Good evening.
And we've got Matty Roper.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are the rest of you?
Yeah, good.
Not bad myself either, thanks.
Alright. So Nick, you're a Brighton fan, we'll start with you.
Yep.
So, how do you think the season's gone so far? Because you made like a great start to the season, unbeaten for the longest of anyone, and now it's sort of fell down a bit.
I think if anyone offered me a going into where we are now, fifth in the league at the start of the season, being unbeaten for 21 games, I think I'd have obviously have snapped your hand off because given the absolute shambles that was last season, I don't think anyone really expected this. Playing some fantastic football, and obviously it's dipped a bit, yes, but I mean every club in the Championship race will go through a crisis of not winning a few games. We would like to think we've had ours. We had a fantastic one on Saturday at Blackburn, and now it's just sort of about picking up where we left off before Christmas.
I guess fifth, and under Chris Hughton it's been a lot better than it was.
Chris has done fantastic, given the fact that there wasn't really many major changes over the summer. It's just a really good testament to how well Chris has done with the players he's got and the togetherness.
So, what do you think's the target for the season for you?
Probably a top half finish, but now I think, given that the expectations that we set, I think it probably has to be everyone probably wants to aim for a playoff spot. I mean, me, I'm realistic, and I think a top half finish should still be what I would be happy with, but I think we're going to be a bit more optimistic and really challenge ourselves. I think, yeah, a playoff spot is realistic.
Do you think you can compete with like the top teams, you know, like Hull, Middlesbrough, Burnley, Derby? Do you think you can compete with them and go for
autos? Well, I stand by, if you finish above Middlesbrough, you're in the Premiership, simple as. I think it's hard, given the fact that I think Derby have spent up to about £23 million.
Yeah.
And there's been two clubs that have had two clubs have bids for Jordan Rhodes there. I wouldn't be surprised if Derby's one of them. As you say, it is tough trying to compete with them. We've got some good players down here, and there's a good togetherness. So it's just a case of doing what we've been doing for the up until sort of December, and just giving it a go really.
What do you guys, Josh and Matty, what do you guys make of the Championship race? Who do you think are the favourites to automatically get promoted?
For me, it's got to be Middlesbrough, really. They've got players from last season. They've got the Premier League quality in Stuart Downing and brought in Stu Arnie from the Spanish leagues. And I think they've got, far and away, one of the best sides in the Championship under Arsene Wenger.
Same here with Middlesbrough. I think they're going to be the favourites. Like, they're sitting top at the moment, and they're just a very hard team to break down. Obviously, they've played 26 games. They conceded, I think it's 13 goals. And I think that kind of says quite a lot about Karanka's style of play. And they're very organised. And I went to watch them earlier in the season against Burton in the Capital One Cup. And obviously, they rested a few players then. But you can see that they're a team that likes to play football. A team that can score goals if they want to, which obviously they do. And, I think they'll end up winning it. And I'll probably see... I still fancy Derby to nick into second year. I don't know why. I just do. I fancy Derby to walk this year.
Well, Derby were very strong, but they've recently gone on a poor run of form. I think it's hard to argue with Middlesbrough to finish top. I don't think anyone would really bet against that. I think Burnley for me would be the second team after that. What would you guys?
Burnley have got, in my opinion, the best striker in the league, Andre Gray. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I think they've got a strong midfield: Joey Barton, Dave Jones, Dean Marnie. Three very experienced players who know how to win games. And then you've obviously got Hull, who've got a Premier League squad there, to be fair. It's a very strong squad that came down. And they've got, even if you look at their bench, I think Tom Huddleston says it already.
They've got a Premier League manager as well, to be fair.
Well, Steve Bruce, I mean, his quality, he's done it before. I think he's a brilliant manager. Those four, I think it's Middlesbrough, definitely, and then one of Derby, Burnley or Hull, really.
What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I'd have to go with Hull as well. I mean, Abel Hernandez got 15 goals now and found his feet in the Championship. It could be a building block if they are promoted to the Premier League. As you say, they've got Steve Bruce, a very experienced manager. He's done a lot of good work in the Championship and in the Premier League. Plus, you've got players like Michael Dawson, former Europa League player, got England captain as well. Same with Tom Huddleston as well.
Let's move on to League One then. We'll move on to Matty, who's a Coventry fan. You're currently fourth in the league. Are you going for the automatic playoffs or the automatic promotion? Sorry.
At the start of the season, I think, obviously after last season, just surviving from relegation last day and Crawley, and none of us really expected to be where we are this season so far. But I think the way we started, and I think the squad we've got, I don't think we'll get another chance like this to get promoted back out of League One. So I think we've got to aim for those top two places. We've shown that we've got goals in us, and we are quite an organised team. Fair enough, we've had defensive injuries lately, and that hasn't helped, and our form has kind of failed a little bit. But I still think now we've got Burton and Walsall out of the way, we've played both of those twice now. I think if we really push on during this second half of the season, I think we've got to try and force ourselves in there, really. Providing we can keep Armstrong, he's signed till the end of the season, but he's got a recall clause. If he stays, the players keep firing, I think top two's got to be the aim, really, especially with he's just been excellent so far.
I was just going to ask, how good is Adam Armstrong? He's the top scorer in the Championship. At the start of the season, his form was incredible. He's scoring a ridiculous rate of goals. Do you think he could be a top quality player?
I think so. People forget he's still only 18 years old, and he's come in and he's took the league by storm so far. And quite a lot of Newcastle fans were saying before he signed for us that he's touted to be the next Alan Shearer, which might be a bit far fetched at this point, but you can see he's just got a natural instinct to put the goal in. He's willing to run in behind the lines. He's got that work right. And his first touch and technical ability is second to none, really. And if he keeps progressing and stays injury-free and things like that throughout his career, he could be a big, big name in the future. I'll keep an eye on him, to be honest. And we're lucky to still have him here.
A big net. Sorry, go on.
Obviously, Newcastle, a lot of their fans were kind of not begging McLaren, but trying to say they need him back, because obviously Newcastle struggled for goals a little bit this season. But I think we're all grateful to Newcastle for letting him stay here, put it that way.
Yeah. You say a big name of the future, Adam Armstrong. You got a big name of the past in with Joe Cole.
Yeah, I think that shows this, the Tony Mowbray effect again. I don't think, for example, Stephen Preston, who obviously was here last season, lovely bloke, but the signings of him compared to Mowbray is just ridiculous. Like, we've just signed Stephen Hunt as well, and I know he's getting on a bit now, but an ex-Ireland international, very good player.
Peter Ramage as well has just come in, hasn't he?
Who?
Peter Ramage, the Newcastle defender.
Saturday, and again, another former Premier League player, and I think, again, it just shows Mowbray's confidence in managing. His contacts are brilliant, and like Joe Cole, obviously, who's signed him permanently now, on the loan, that nearly gave me a heart attack, so to sign him permanently,
yeah.
And there's talk of him even having a coaching role now upon his retirement, so God knows how we're doing it so far, but
alright, let's move on. Josh, you're a Peterborough fan.
Yeah, it's been a strange season, really. Started off quite badly with Dave Robertson at the helm, sort of languishing in lower mid-table, and since Graham Wesley's come in, there's been a real buzz around the place, and we're back into the playoffs now. We're hanging on in that final playoff spot. I mean, the automatics are probably out of reach now, but at the start of the season, playoffs would have been my aim, and I think we're on course to do that.
Well, it was like you say, it was a poor start to the season after the first five or so games, but you've really come back strongly and looked well in the hunt for playoffs at least.
Yeah, we've got a big side of our game, and with Washington sort of on the verge of leaving, with QPR coming in with that supposed $5 million bid, that could sort of scupper our chances. But I feel with Angle and Koulibaly still in the squad, that we can score the goals to narrow down that sixth spot.
Well, Madison's been linked with a move away as well as Washington. It could really damage your chances if they both leave.
Yeah, Max Madison is a player that's performed at times, but has been very inconsistent, to be honest. He's been on the bench quite a lot recently, and he hasn't had the same effect. I mean, we've still got players like Aaron Osuma, who's been with Palace today. still got John Taylor, who's a terrific workhorse in the midfield. Harry Beauchamp. They've got a lot of good midfielders that can replace Madison. Still got Martin Samuelson, remember, on loan from West to the top by the Hammers. So we've got plenty of replacements for Madison.
Let's look at League One then. Would you say, despite Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank leaving Burton Albion, that they're still the favourites to win the league?
Yeah. Sorry, mate. I think Burton Albion have. They've sort of just kept the same sort of score for a while now. I was reading something. I read a statistic that they've got like the best since 2010. They've won the most football league games. I think. I just think they've got the setup there's fantastic, and they made a very correct decision by getting Nigel Clough in, because he knows the football club well. He's a very good manager in my opinion, and I just think I reckon Burton will win League One, which is a fantastic achievement given where they've come from in the conference. They were in the conference obviously since longer. They've got promoted to League Two, League One. I just think, yeah, they do everything right at that football club.
That's the thing with Burton. I think, obviously, Nigel Clough came in and his philosophy is quite similar to Hasselbank, so it's been quite seamless, really. They've just carried on their form since he's come in. They've not really changed the way they're playing or anything like that. It's working. Obviously, we played them on Saturday, and to be honest with you, it was quite an even game, and it was two mistakes that gave them their goal. Considering the attack we've got, on our day we can break any defence open really, but they are very, very organised at the back, and obviously again they've only conceded 19 goals in 25 games, and that's your platform, isn't it? If you're not conceding goals, you only need one to nick most games, and yeah, I do think that they've got to be favoured, but I think we've still got an outside chance of finishing up there, but I think Burton do have to be the ones you look at for promotion as well, top of the table. And again, like Nick said, that's a great achievement for them, because to win two leagues in a row, potentially.
I think Wigan will be up there as well, I think. I mean, it's amazing how they managed to actually get relegated anyway to League One. Gary Caldwell's done a fantastic job there. He's kept a lot of the players that came down. He's added sensibly. Added players who know League One well, and I think we're going to be up there. I think Walsall as well. I mean, we played Walsall earlier this season. They played some cracking football. And as they get there, similar to Burton as well. I mean, they lost their manager Dean Smith to Brentford, but they've got another player, another manager who knows the League One well, Sean O'Driscoll. And again, it's sensible. Someone who knows the league well, who also likes to get the with Sean O'Driscoll's side. He's always got like to get the ball down and play.
Team you've not mentioned as well, Gillingham are up in third place.
Yeah, they're not a good thing. I think they are the top scorers in the league. They are, they've scored one more than Peterborough with 53, and they are a good side to play expansive football. They knock the ground well, and obviously they do find the net quite often. It's just whether they can sustain that. Obviously they've got Dominic Salmon on loan, who was on loan to us last season, and obviously from first hand experience watching him, he's a brilliant player. And they've got some other great players in their squad, but
Bradley Dack's a very good player.
Yeah, Bradley Dack, he's a great player, but he's linked to again with a move away from the club, isn't he? That's the thing. I think if they can keep hold of their main assets, I think they'll definitely get a playoff place, if not get very close to the top two. But I don't know. There's something about them. I just think they'll fall away a little bit, but I still think they'll definitely get playoffs. But I can't see them getting top two. I think there's better sides in the division.
All right, let's move on to League Two finally. The top two teams are Plymouth, Northampton, and as far as I can see, it looks like a battle between the two of them to win the league.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it, so far? Obviously, Northampton have got a game in hand on Plymouth as well.
Yeah.
We played Northampton earlier on in the season in the FA Cup, and despite us not being at our best that day, they played some pretty football, some attractive football, and I think I'm quite happy that they're up there, for one. It's the troubles they're having off the field and stuff. A few Coventry fans might not agree with me saying that after the field debacle, but I don't like to see any club in trouble. And if they can get promotion to League One, then fair play to them. Hopefully that alleviate a bit of pressure financially. And they are a good side, but I think Plymouth and Northampton both will go up. But then it's just who's going to get in that final automatic spot, isn't it?
Well, you were playing at their... at the the name escapes me, the Northampton Town Stadium for a season, weren't you?
Yeah, we played at Six Fields for about a season and a half. Yeah, and obviously it wasn't ideal, and it was a bit of a joke really at the time, but we dealt with it, we got through it, and hopefully now push on and kind of forget that and shove that to one side, because it looks finally as if the club might be moving forward.
That caused a bit of rivalry between the two of you.
Yeah, it did a little bit. Not too much. I think it was to animosity, if I'm honest. Like when they came to our place, they didn't tease us or anything. I think they realised that it's quite a sensitive situation. Like, really, a lot of people weren't comfortable really with it. And like you said, there's always going to be that little bit of rivalry now. But it's nothing major. It's not like Leicester or Aston Villa with us. It's nothing like that. It's just a little bit of.
Alright. Oh, well, let's move on. I've got a quiz for us all, for you guys to try and do. So I've got three sets of questions, three sets of teams.
Yeah.
And they all begin with three letters. I'll give you the three letters, and you have to name as many teams in the Football League 72 beginning with those three letters.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you've got 30 seconds to name as many as you can, and if it's a draw, I've got a tiebreaker. Well, I'll start with you then, Matt. Would you like set 1, 2, or 3?
Oh, I'll go in the middle, set 2.
Okay, so you've got to name as many teams beginning with three letters I tell you in the Football League 72, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Your letters are L, N, and P, okay?
Let me write those down.
Okay.
L, N, and P.
L, N, and P. Time starts now.
Nottingham Forest.
Yep.
Leeds. Preston.
Yep. Yep.
L, N, and P. This isn't going very well, is it?
15 seconds left.
Plymouth. Portsmouth.
Yep.
Northampton.
Yep.
Newport. Leighton Orient. Knox County.
That's time.
Might be it, if I'm honest.
Teams are Leeds United, Leighton Orient, Luton Town, Newport, Northampton, Nottingham Forest, Notts County, Peterborough United, Plymouth Argyle, Port Vale, Portsmouth and Preston.
Didn't do bad though, I only missed 2 or 3, I think.
Yeah, missed 2 by my count, so you got 10 out of 12.
Not bad.
Not bad. Nick, you next.
Yeah.
All right, you got set 1 or set 3?
Oh, therefore, set 1.
Set 1, all right. Your letters are H, M, and W. Okay?
Hey. Yeah.
H, M, W, time starts now.
Huddersfield, Hull, Millwall.
Yep.
Wigan, Wolves.
Yep. 15 seconds.
MK Dons.
Yep.
Mansfield.
Yep.
Wickham.
Yep.
Hartlepool.
Yep. Time. Sorry.
Morecambe.
Well. So you missed out Middlesbrough, Morecambe and Walsall. 9 out of 12. Okay. So finally, Josh.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, your three letters are O, R, and S. Alright?
Yeah.
O, R, S. Time starts now.
Right. Oxford, uh-huh. Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday.
Yep.
Reading, Rochdale.
Yep.
Southend, Scunthorpe.
Yep, 5 seconds.
Swindon.
Yep. That's time. Swindon, so 1, 2. You missed out. Oldham Athletic, Rotherham United, Shrewsbury Town, and Stevenage. So that gives you 8 out of 12. So Matty is the winner in the quiz this week. So congratulations, Matty.
Congratulations.
Well, that was fun.
Decent.
Something a bit light-hearted. We'll try and make the quizzes a bit more serious next time. All right, let's move on. It's obviously January at the moment, so there's plenty of transfers going on. I just want to start talking about the players from the from the Championship, really, who've gone up to the Premier League. So we've got Charlie Austin going to Southampton. What do we make of that?
Good signing. Very good signing, I think.
Amazing signing.
Yeah, how much did he sign
him? How much did he cost us? I think it was 4 million.
Yeah, it was
it?
4 million, yeah.
A bucket full of goals last season.
Yeah, I think he was 15 caps, so 4 million.
Do you think QPR will struggle without him, or?
No, if they get Connor Washington.
I think, well, when we played QPR back in December, he was the standout player for QPR. I mean, they looked okay. I mean, they had Leroy Thurmax Phillips, who were alright, but. He was just the difference of them getting a point against us because his goals were fantastic. I mean, every shot he seemed to do just seemed to go on target, and he's just whenever you don't really get it with strikers. When you get the ball, you actually panic. You do when he gets the ball because he's got that killer touch, man. I've always said that from when he was at Swindon as well. And at Burnley, he's a very good striker, and he is. I mean, it's a fantastic sign for Southampton. I mean, 4 million, that's just great. I mean. I will say at the start of the season, Aston Villa should have just paid whatever for him.
Do you think it's a shame for QPR that they've only got 4 million for him, though?
Well, yeah, it is. I don't know why they didn't try and rip people off at the start of the season. In that token, I don't know why people didn't just pay the hit, because it would have gone one or two ways, because you'd have got ripped off, but you'd have got goals. And at the point, in my opinion, money goals are just worth it, because they win football matches. I think QPR could have got a lot more money from him and probably could have made some signings. Therefore, they wouldn't be as low as they are now. So,
all right, let's move on. Demarai Gray's moved to Leicester for 3.7 million, but it could have been closer to 10 million if the rumours in the summer were true.
Yeah, he's another player, isn't he? He's a very, very good player. He's got a massive future ahead of him. But in today's market, I think he probably is worth 10 million. And what did you say they paid for him in the end?
3.7 they paid Leicester.
Absolute bargain that is, and look, he played the other night, didn't he, in the FA Cup against Spurs, and I thought he looked quite promising then, and I think he's as much as it pains me to say this, he is at a good club in Leicester. They play football the right way, and obviously they're onto things at the minute, and if he can develop there, I think he will turn into a very, very good player. Again, his technical ability is brilliant. He's got a lot of pace and just a good all round player, really. Just obviously whether he can carry on developing at such a rate that he has so far.
What do you guys think his potential's like? How good do you think he could be?
I think the one worry with Demarai Gray is the amount of game time he gets in Leicester. Just,
yeah.
If you've got Riyad Mahrez playing like he is this season and then continuing to do that at Leicester, and we've got Paul Brighton, who's obviously a very good player on the other side, how much game time is Demarai Gray?
That's another one, slightly off topic, but I don't think anyone expected Albrighton to get into the Leicester team. And, you know, well, no one expected Leicester to do well, but Albrighton was a player who sort of meandered around at Championship level.
Yeah, very true, isn't it, with him? I think you look at him, you don't think, obviously, they're fighting for the title of the team at the moment. And you wouldn't put him in that bracket of a player that can play in a team at that end of the table, really. I wouldn't think he was quite that good, should I say, but no, he's doing well so far, isn't he? And I don't know how many assists he's got this season, but he's got quite a few, and he's really starting to push on now, isn't he? And again, he's still only 26. I didn't realise, I thought he was a bit older than that, but still only 26, so he's another one. If he gets the next couple of years for him,
yeah,
you never know what could happen with his career as well, but no, he's a good player, isn't he?
I remember him as a youngster at Villa, but anyway, let's move on. Final player I want to mention going up to the Premier League, Ben Akinfobe to Bournemouth, who last season was part of that amazing Wolves strike force with Dicko and Sacco, and yeah, I think he could be a great success at Bournemouth.
Yeah, it's a great sign, and I'd say his score ratio at Wolves is second to none. I think I said this on the main podcast last Thursday. He does tick all the boxes what you want from your centre forward. He's quick, strong, powerful, and scores a lot of goals. He's a very good player. I think Wolves though will struggle without him. I wouldn't even be surprised if Wolves get drawn into a relegation battle now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Because where does it leave Wolves? Because they're They're really struggling, I think. Well, last season they did really well, especially the later part of the season. They ended up getting in the playoffs, but now they're not looking any good this season.
Yeah, I mean they've had a bit of unluck this season with Dicko breaking his leg, Sacco going to Palace, but they don't look like the Wolves of last season with this and the Wolves you saw in League One that were just blowing teams away. They're struggling a bit, Wolves, but and I think the loss of Afobe is really lead them light up front.
Yeah, but no, Afobe is another brilliant player, isn't he? Like you say, he's got everything you want in his centre forward. But as a commentary lad, I'm hoping that when Callum Wilson comes back from injury, he outs him from the team. Because I still firmly believe that if Callum Wilson was fit now, Bournemouth would be mid-table. I still believe it. He's brilliant.
He was excellent last season.
It was, and it frustrates me a bit, really, that Benekafobi's gone for 10 million. Well, fair enough, he probably is worth 10 million, but Callum Wilson, we probably should have got more from him as well, but with the financial situation we were in, I suppose we had to take the 3 million and run, didn't we? But no, I think they could even work together, Callum and Afobe, to be honest. Then.
Well, I sent a source on the podcast for Bournemouth, and it's not a Football League. What are they going to do with all their forwards? Because they've got Glenn Murray, who's always done a good job for them. He knows the guy. They've signed Lewis Grabban for a stupid amount of money. And who else? They've got Josh King as well. He's a very good player. Who else? They've got Rante?
Yeah. About Jan Kernaghan scored a lot of
Goals. Yeah, I think he's on loan, isn't he, at a club in the Championship?
Well, Kernaghan?
I think so. Could be wrong.
Also, I'm playing in the Cup at Bournemouth.
Oh, he could be. Probably isn't then. So there from a bright point of view, I'm really hoping there's a small chance, if there's a God up there, we might be able to get Glenn Murray back online. But
well, Glenn Murray's been linked to the Championship, hasn't he, a bit?
Oh, I'd love him. I'd love it if he came back. I mean, he was class for us in League One. You think he still lives in Brighton, so there's ever a chance. But
you never know what happened.
I don't think he gets along well with the club. People who sort of run the club.
Are there any other transfers you guys have seen in the Football League that have caught your eye?
Anthony Knockhart for us is a very good signing. I haven't seen him play yet myself because both games have been away, which I haven't gone to. But I've heard he looks the real deal.
Where did he come from?
Down at Liège. He knows the Championship well. He's been there at Leicester before, so I think he looks a very good signing.
Nick Blackman's joined Derby for $2.5 million from Reading as well. That's one that caught my eye.
Well, yeah, again, what I said, like, well, with all these strikers, I don't really know what Derby are going to do. Blackburn, Ben, that Camera bloke, Martin.
Yeah.
Probably more I'm forgetting about, and we really don't know what they're actually going to do with all their strikers. But yeah, it's a good sign. He's been on 4-5 for Reading this season, so.
Oh, I want to talk about a club that can't make any transfers at the moment, looking a pretty bad way. Bolton Wanderers are bottom of the Championship. They look pretty set to go down. They've had a Zach Clough and Mark. There's been an issue with Mark Davis signing for Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, one of the Sheffield clubs anyway. And it looks pretty bad for Bolton at the moment.
So they're in a big predicament, are they? And they've just lost. Was Amiobi there as well?
He was there. I don't know if anything's happened.
Well, they can't afford to. It's just really sad to see teams like them down there. So obviously, they were in the Premier League a few years ago, and they're quite a big team, aren't they? Similar to us, like the fact that they could potentially be wound up within the next month. I think their case has been adjourned, hasn't it, to the 22nd of February or something like that.
Yeah.
But could you imagine seeing the team the size of Bolton Wanderers go bust? It's just football these days, isn't it? It's just.
Well, they're about 180 million in debt, I read.
Yeah, 172 million, I think it is. And
yeah.
It's just horrible, isn't it? Like, all their fans and their players, and it's just horrible to see. But I really hope somehow, like, even if they do get relegated, I think that's quite inevitable now. I think they will be dropping to League One, but as long as they're existing next season, I think their fans would be quite happy with that. Because
it's an impossible job for Neil Lennon at the moment.
Oh, it is. To rally the troops there, and the city one around the club's going to be deflated, aren't they? But the best they can do is give them all, put on a bit of a show if they can, and just try and fight relegation and see what happens, because you never know, do you? You never know. something miraculous could happen there, but like you say, I think they probably will be playing League One football next season, but like I said a minute ago, I think if it comes to that or going bust, I know what I'd rather choose.
Yeah, I think everyone would. Alright, let's stick with Bolton but look at the FA Cup then. They drew with non-league Eastleigh in the third round, and you know Eastleigh's still in the cup. They could win the replay, and you know it's good to see a non-league side always going through. We've had a couple of League Two results as well. A couple of Northampton and Exeter both drawing with Liverpool and MK Dons respectively. Got replays. Are there any particular replays you guys are looking forward to? Or
I think Bristol City West Brom should be a great game at Ashton Gate. You can get a bit of a good atmosphere down there. I think West Brom, I think it's a chance of an upset there. Bristol City obviously aren't going to be going up in the league. West Brom will also fancy a cup run, given they're not going to be doing it. Obviously, they're not going to go down. They're not going to be challenging for Europa League or anything like that. So I think that should be a great game.
Yeah, I think Aston Villa Wickham would be a good game as well, because obviously the negativity around Aston Villa at the minute. I think Wickham could go to Villa Park and beat them, and I think that'd be quite an interesting game to watch. To be honest with you, I'm not so hung up on Villa as some other fans are, but it would be quite funny to see them knocked out of the cup as well. But like Wickham seen as well as the All League One tie between Bradford and Bury, and that poses to be quite a good fixture, and see what happens with that one as well. But I do fancy Bradford to go through at home.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to seeing MK Dons against Northampton, quite a local rivalry, and MK on the decline at the moment and lost 5-0 to Burnley, despite beating Reading at the weekend. I think Northampton at the top of League Two can really challenge to get past MK Dons and get into the next round where they could face the Premier League side, which would be a great reward for getting out of the financial trouble that they had them recently.
Alright, there was a couple of old championship ties. What did you make of them? There was Hull beating Brighton, Forest beating QPR, Burnley also won their game against Middlesbrough.
To be honest with us, it was the case of a win-off debate. If when we lost, we didn't really care. So, you've got a bit of a fish to find. So, I'd love to make up, don't get me wrong. I'd love to run, but to be honest, we just have to accept that we put a team out there so we can get any injuries, and we lost. We move on, really. I don't want to talk bad about the FA Cup because I love it, but it's just one of those things.
That's the thing now, isn't it, with these competitions? It's like, again, I love the FA Cup, but I think it has lost a bit of its magic, hasn't it, for the football league sides, particularly. No, non-league sides, it's great, brilliant. You get through to the first round proper and push on, it's amazing to see. But I think, same with us, when we went out against Northampton, I think quite a lot of us saw it as a bit of a blessing in disguise. The amount of fixtures we've got and the fact the squad's not overly big. Going out of the cup can obviously, you lose the financial gains from it, but the actual fitness gains and things like that you get for the rest of the season could be the difference between the playoffs. And it's one of those, again, I would like an FA Cup run. If you could get both, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? If we could win the Johnson's Paint Trophy, the FA Cup and the league, that'd be a sensation. Reality is now the league takes precedent, isn't it, for every club really, and FA Cup was on the back burner a little bit, which is a shame, but it's kind of expected now, isn't it, I guess.
What do you think, Josh? Would you say the FA Cup's important to you, or is it all about doing well in the league?
Well, as a Peterborough fan, we haven't been past the third round in quite a few years now, and it's quite nice, quite refreshing to see us getting into the fourth round draw and maybe facing the Premier League opposition in West Brom. We faced sort of Sunderlands and the West Broms sort of 5 years ago, and it's good to see those names back sort of matched up with us.
What do you guys make of the other competitions? You know, you got the Football League Trophy, what was the Johnston's Paint, and the League Cup. Does that delay matter to you? Or?
League Cup, I couldn't honestly give a crap that we lost, and the same was when we were in League One. I couldn't give a monkeys if we lost in the Johnston's Paint Trophy or not.
I think it's the same. I think with the League One and Two clubs, I think the Johnson's Paint Trophy is a nice competition because obviously it gives you a chance to get to Wembley, and realistically there's not going to be another competition that you can get there in. Let's face it, not many League One or Two clubs are going to reach the Wembley. But again, at the same time, we nearly got to Wembley the other year, and then we lost the crew in the area final, and it's one of those things. I think On one hand, you would love a trip to Wembley, but yet on the other, if you can go out as early as possible and concentrate on the league, then it's one of those things, isn't it? I don't really mind either way. With the League Cup as well, I would not be biased.
All right, well, one final thing I want to mention, going back to the FA Cup, is Oxford's victory over Swansea. They won 3-2 and played really well. I think we need to give them some credit.
Yeah, of course you do, and I think Kemar Roof for Oxford is a real talent, and you've got to keep an eye on him. But no, it's brilliant to see, and we played Oxford in pre-season, and they looked a good outfit then, and obviously against Swansea, to go against, fair enough, they are a struggling Premier League side. But to take the game to them like they did and come out as winners, credit to them really, isn't it? And fair play to them getting into the next round.
Yeah, Kemar Roach looks a very good player, and he's very young as well. I think he's 21, 22, isn't he? So he could easily move on to, hopefully, if he gets a great good end to the second half of the season, he could certainly get a few bids in the summer.
Danny, have you seen his very... Did any of you see his very lucky goal last week against Millwall?
No. I know he scored a screamer. I didn't know.
The first one was a really lucky goal.
Oh,
from
the keeper balls one up. I saw that.
Alright. Alright, well, thanks for joining me, guys. It's been a great show. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter. We're at V2Football. You can follow all of us on Twitter. I'll put our details in the description. Thanks for joining me. It's good night from me and good night from everyone else.
Good night.
Good night.